Blog Talk Radio.
Elohim, and that you showed him honor, gave him his due on this his day. We know that when he comes, he is not playing. And this Yah will give them hell, part two. We're going to wrap this up. I won't be before you long this morning. And just know that the Elohim we serve, that he is watching over us for our good. Amen. All right. Let us start this way this morning. Amen. Amen. Then you have the ladies to cover their head, then uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. As we read our statement of faith, our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning, because truly he is worthy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for keeping us safe through the night. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us the fear of you, God, that we might worship you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you glory, Yah. We lift you up, we magnify you. For you are the great I am. Hallelujah. You are our Savior and our salvation. You are our Redeemer, our King and our Rock. And we adore you this morning, Father. We adore you. We adore you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, Father. 10,000 times 10,000. Hallelujah. We just want to magnify you this morning. And thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. There is none like you, O Elohim. There is none like you. Let us raise holy hands to the Most High Elohim as we go before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would repent from our sins and turn from our wicked ways and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and we are repenting from our sins, and we're turning from our wicked ways. Pray that you would turn your eyes and your ears toward your people again, because our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom today, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give us favor in all that we do. And we have prepared a place here for you. Be with us. Let it be you that we hear, and not Brother Michael. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. And we are going to start in verse 1 this morning. Understand the setting, why we turn toward the east, why we show honor, while we are scattered amongst the nations. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yah out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. And they broke up the Ark, and they brought up the Ark of Yah in the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those that the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told or numbered for multitude. And the priests broke, wow, I don't know why I want to say this word broke this morning. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of Yah unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. But the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are until this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of Yah, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of Yah had filled the house of Yah. Fix Solomon. Yah said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, Blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel. And Elohim and Yah said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well, that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build a house unto my name. And Yah has performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yah promised, and have built a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of Yah, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yah in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee in heaven above or on the earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yah Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to the supplication, O Yah, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be open toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their city, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, by all thy people, or by all thy people Israel, we shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger, that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calls to thee for, that all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee and do as thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemies, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto Yah toward the house, toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto a land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto Yah, he arose from before the altar of Yah, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be Yah that has given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised, that has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And Yah our Elohim be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline his heart, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these words wherewith I have made supplication before Yah be nigh unto Yah our Elohim, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that Yah is Elohim, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with Yah our Elohim, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offer sacrifice before Yah. May the Most High a blessing to the reading and hearing. And let us go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Because this is the bottom line. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall judge every work into judgment. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it shall be evil. May the Most High the blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Let us go back to the book of Isaiah, do a quick review from yesterday. We learned that the Most High said that he would bring hail. He has reserved hail, the kind of hail that falls from the sky. Not H-E-L-L, but H-A-I-L. For the day of battle, for the times of trouble. And when he shows up, he uses nature to do his battling for him. whether it's wind or rain, fire, vapor. It's the elements of this planet that he uses to carry out his judgments. One of the ones that I know I had never really taught on this, and the most I've never really put it on my heart to teach on this, and when he did, this is amazing, that the judgment that he's going to bring with hail is, it's grievous. And we read about it, how he brought hail in Egypt. And whoever didn't believe, they left their people and their animals outside, and this hail came down, and this hail was mingled with fire. The hail was on fire itself. And so whoever was out in the field got killed, the animals got killed, destroyed all the trees. But it didn't destroy the houses. Because he said, whoever goes in the house, they'll be safe. That was to show their belief. In the end days, and what we're going to read today, shortly here, is that the hail that he's coming with this time, in the day of Yah, when he comes to pronounce judgment on the earth, when he comes to judge all of mankind, not just Israel, but all of mankind, the hell that he's coming with this time will destroy everything in his path. You won't be able to hide in the house. You won't be able to hide, you know, in a building. This is going to be very grievous, and it's also going to be mixed with fire. But it's not going to be a normal hell, because if it's knocking down buildings, if it's destroying everything in his path, and if it's not just one day, but it's day after day. So Yah is coming, and he's going to be showing his wrath. And, you know, when it says the day of the Lord, that doesn't mean one day. The day of the Lord doesn't last one day. It lasts some years. We got to understand that what's coming, when the Most High chooses to take out his vengeance, it's going to be a very grievous day. And now I understand even more why he says, this is not a day that you should desire. This is not even a day that you should pray for. Because people saying, oh, we can't wait for Yeshua to come back. People are saying, we can't wait, and we want him. We hope he come back now. But the scripture says, this is not a day that you should even be asking for, praying for his return. So terrible is that day. And we're not, you know, looking at the other things, the other plagues, the bowls, the vials of judgment, the opening up of the abyss, the bottomless pit, the animals that come out of it, you know, turning the entire ocean, killing the entire oceans on the planet, setting every green thing on fire, burning up all the trees and all the grass, poisoning all the water so that people won't have anything that they can drink unless he provides. I mean, this is a terrible day. But then I never looked at this hail. Because he said, I reserved this as in the day of battle. And when I went and looked at that, I looked this thing up and I dug into it, I was just, you know, I'm amazed. I'm flabbergasted. Because he's coming and there won't be any place to hide. There's no if condition. If you go inside, you'll be safe. This is very grievous. And as I said yesterday, I don't want anybody to think that this is all doom and gloom, because if you belong to him, if you are serving him, if he has you, then you don't have to fear this judgment, because will none of it fall on you. We got to understand that, but we still need to know what's coming. So we can warn people, this is what's coming. because they need to have a chance to do what? To repent. It's like I said, these plagues that are coming, COVID being one of them, these are to call people to repentance, to call mankind to repentance. These are global in effect, and mankind wants to feel like, oh, I understand how this world works now, and this global pandemic, we can stop it with this inoculation. But it keeps changing on them. And it's only going to get worse. And then the shot that they're giving people that is altering their DNA, and they don't know what the effects are because they didn't take the time that it takes to understand what effects this shot might have years from now, maybe not even that long. The side effects are going to come out, and they may not be pretty at all. So we got to understand that he's bringing these judgments. And when I go back into Revelations again as a study for us, then I will show you that all of this is intended to bring mankind to repentance. This is Yah's last-ditch effort to bring man to repentance. He said, I would that none should be lost. And he gives all mankind a chance to return to him, to repent, turn from their wicked ways. The judgments that are coming are going to be so grievous and so enormous that our Elohim is saying, if you can't see me in this, you deserve the judgment that you receive. Because this is my call to you. This is my way of telling you and showing you I'm on my way. And when I come, I'm not going to be Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not going to be this all-forgiving God, this all-forgiving Elohim that the world seems to be looking for. That I'm coming to rub their head and pat them on the back, and I'm coming to extract judgment first. I'm coming to take the wicked out of the world. See, the saints keep thinking that they're the ones leaving, but the saints aren't the ones that are leaving. It is the wicked that are leaving. The saints shall inherit the world. The wicked shall be taken out of it. So everybody's looking for the rapture to be taken out of here, and that rapture is just a temporary thing to move us into Israel so that the Most High can deal with his people as he has promised. But that's not going to be pretty either. So we got to understand that when he's coming with this hail, this is like his calling card. This is what he tells us to look for. I mean, when he separates this out by itself and say, this is what I use in the day of battle. You know, and we think about, you know, if you see a hailstorm, and I'm sure most of us have seen one, if not all of us, of some type. You know, we might say, oh, it hailed today, and, you know, it filled the ground with ice, but didn't do any damage. But when you see a real big hailstorm, you understand that it can be destructive, and it don't have to be, the pieces don't have to be that big. You know, quarter size of a golf ball. Sometimes it is hailed the size of softball. And that size of ice, even the size of a golf ball, coming down and hitting you directly in the right place can kill you. And ain't no fire mixed with that hail. But the hail that the Most High is bringing when he comes in his wrath, as he did in Israel, he's going to mix it with fire. And all over the earth, not just in one place. Oh, I'm going to rain hail over here, and I'm not going to hail over here. No, just as he did in the land of Egypt, when he rained hail in the whole land of Egypt, except where his people were at, where his inheritance was at. No hail dropped there, but everywhere else in the land of Egypt, hail fell. Let us go back to Isaiah chapter 28, pick up where we left off. Isaiah chapter 28. Starting in verse 1. Woe to the crown of the pride and to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, Yah has a mighty and strong one, which has a tempest of hail and a destroying storm. He has a strong and a mighty one. As a tempest of hail and a mighty storm. When he's coming, you can best believe that the clouds that you see, I want you to think about the worst storm you were ever in and how black the cloud, I've seen the clouds so black that it turned like night. And the scripture says he dwells in thick darkness. So when these clouds come, if it's daytime, it's going to turn night. And I know I've seen that with my own eyes. And I don't believe that that storm is going to be compare anything to what the fire is bringing. So pitch black, and it's daytime. And all of a sudden, it starts hailing. But it ain't like this normal hail. Let us go to Revelations and come back. Go to the book of Revelation. I want us to get a picture, get this understanding, get this picture. Let's see. Revelations. Let's go to verse, let's go to chapter 8. I believe that's where. No, let's go to chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. The book of Revelations, chapter 16. And let's start in verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of wrath of Elohim upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his veil upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, everybody who takes the mark of the beast, they are doomed, okay? And so you got to be very careful what you comply with mankind. Because if you are not aware of what the mark is, if you are trying to save your life and you're trying to comply with mankind, you may take the mark. And if you take the mark, then he's telling you that first, this grievous sore is going to fall upon all men that take the mark of the beast. Now, this mark of the beast and its image, I believe there's going to be some type of artificial intelligence that mankind is working on even right now, that you cannot even tell that it's a machine. And they are trying to get these things to be lifelike, where they think that they can get eternal life by transferring their conscience into these machines, artificial intelligence, a robot. And what they're working on is making them look, they already look human. You can still kind of tell that, that's a doll or that's mechanical, but they're getting it to the place where you won't even be able to tell. That's why he said, and worship his image. Tells you that he caused this beast to be able, this image to be able to talk, to be able to communicate with people. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So you got everybody who has taken the mark, they have what? Sores on them. And then you got everything in the sea dead. No fish alive, no seals, no whales, no sharks, no sea urchins, nothing alive, everything in the sea dead. Do you know every day every day the amount of food that they take out of the ocean to feed the world. And they understand that they have overfished some fish stocks. They have overfished them, and they are on the brink of extinction. And so some of them are trying to turn around and say, oh, we need to breed these and let them go in the wild. But in some cases, it's almost too late. Now, if they are taking out every day enough fish and whatever else that we eat out of the ocean, because we, you know, the world is eating just about everything. If they take those out of the ocean, and then Yah comes and kills everything that's in the sea. He kills it. No food in the sea. No more tuna. No more sea bass. No more of the clean things that we can eat either. Everything is dead in the sea. Let's continue. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and they became blood. All the fresh water turns to blood. You turn on your tap, blood comes out. You go outside, you go to the river, blood. They go look in the wells that you pull water from, blood. So now men have nothing to drink. They have nothing to eat coming from the sea. And I heard an angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Yah, which are, and which was, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. This is a righteous judgment upon the earth. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So because mankind has shed the blood of the prophets, killed the saints of the Most High. See, a lot of saints, I hate to tell you the saints, but you don't get to escape tribulation. You don't get to bypass it. Because see, this is what the church teaches, and this is what even the camps are teaching. Or you're going to be taken into the wilderness, into a place of safety. You still going to go through the tribulation. You still got to see this day if you're alive. Now, the judgments of Elohim, he says, I will cause them to bypass you. But I'm going to give the Antichrist, I'm going to give him permission. I'm going to give him permission to test the saints. He'll be given power over you. And if you get weak, if you ain't really dedicated, you might fall on his side. What I mean by fall, I mean you choose Antichrist because you love this life more than you love the Most High. So this escapism that the church and the camps are teaching, saying that we have to go through it and you have to be prepared to go through it. And at some point, you have to be prepared even to give your life if Yah should require it. But understand, if you give your life, there is a huge reward. You're going to get your life back, plus some, because you're not going to be subject to the lake of fire ever. You got to know that. You got to know what's on the line. Again, I want you to keep in mind what's happening. The Most High has made the water undrinkable. He has killed everything in the sea. All the people who took the mark of the beast, they have sores all over their bodies. And now the sun is hotter than usual. You go outside, and rather than getting a tan, you literally get burnt. You know, there was a time in my life that I didn't think black people could get a sunburn. I'm dark-skinned. I'm not black-black, but, you know, I'm not tar-black, but I would be considered among our people to be dark-skinned. And I got a sunburn out on a lake. And it's painful. I don't see what people see in tanning. It's just like that. It's painful. So now imagine you go outside and you're not trying to tan, but the sun scorches you. The sun literally scorches you, and you can't be out in it. This is what the Most High says is coming. You're still alive, though. Let's continue. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of Elohim, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. This is one of those verses that tells you what the Most High wants. He wants men to repent. Turn from their ways. I'm sorry, creator of the universe. We have been wrong. We have taken your glory and we have blasphemed your name. And we have done wickedness in the earth. We see our wicked ways and we repent. And the Most High would have mercy on them. But he tells you they won't repent. Sometimes I see the saints. And the Most High is doing the same thing in a gentler way. He brings adversity into your life. Trials and tribulation. And he says it's for your perfecting. But I guess we don't really understand that. And we don't repent. We don't turn from doing the things that the trial is trying to show us, that the tribulation is trying to show us, that he's having us to go through. And we don't turn. But we make excuses. And we keep on doing what we were doing. And each time expecting a different result. And so in the last days, the Most High says, I'm going to bring it in such a way that you cannot question whether it is me or not. You cannot second guess. Is this from the Most High Elohim? Or is this some natural disaster and nature is just acting crazy? Men are going to choose to say that it's nature acting crazy. He says, and they won't repent. So they go outside and the sun is scorching them. They're going to try to find a way. We figured out the earth moved closer to the sun, or something's happened to the atmosphere and it's not blocking the sun's rays the way it used to. They're going to try to figure it out. Come up with some type of scientific explanation so that they don't have to repent, so they don't have to give the Most High his glory. This is what men do. We try to find a way to keep doing what we want to do. That's why Yah is going to have to bring the hail in such a way that men can't, they won't be able to deny this. Let's continue. Revelation 16 and 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, this is typically, by the scripture, somewhere in the Middle East, Mediterranean area, the seat of the beast. I'm not going to name a specific place. Just understand that it's in that region. But it says the men are going to, that everybody who joins the Antichrist, and his feet will be there. He will have taken over three nations, but 10 will join him. And there's going to be darkness. And they are going to be in extreme pain. They're going to be gnawing their tongues for the pain. Whatever this is that comes, and I believe that it's a plague, like a virus, that puts people in so much pain that all they can do is, you know, when you're in so much pain and you can't scream, or you're just in constant pain and all you can do is just, and gnaw your tongue, you're just in that much extreme pain. And blaspheme the Elohim of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. See, again, I want you to repent. I'm putting this hurt on you because I want you to repent. I want you to turn from your wicked ways. I want you to acknowledge me. Stop trying to find excuses and reasons not to acknowledge me and not to turn from your wicked ways, but you're going to try to explain this away. Oh, this is Ebola 323. And it's infected all the people who have taken the mark of the beast. And all they can do is gnaw their tongues and in pain. And then rather than repent, they blaspheme the Most High Elohim. They don't turn from their ways. They don't fall to their knees. They don't go into the secret place and apologize. Let us find out what's making this happen. Let us find an excuse and let us tell the people. So the scientists say, this is caused by XYZ, whatever XYZ is. And we can find a way to cure this. We can find a way to lessen the pain. We can find something. We're scientists. And the people put their faith in the scientists, just as they do this very day. And don't come to repentance. And I think because they believe in the scientists and they believe in science, that is a form of blasphemy. Because when Elohim is bringing judgment, he says, I'm doing this so that you will repent. I'm bringing these grievous sores and this grievous pain through the sun, through the turning the blood, the water into blood, to killing off all the fish in the sea so that now the only place you have to look for food is on the land, and that ain't going to last too long. And you see all of these things coming, and you still will not repent, will not turn to me. Let's continue. And the sixth angel, verse 12, poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. Now, I didn't turn this into blood. He dried it up, made a highway out of it, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The kings of the east, China, India. These are the only countries in the world that by themselves can make a 200 million man army. By themselves, they got populations in the billions. The United States can't do that. Europe can't do that. Russia can't do that. We can get a conglomeration of nations together, and we might be able to field. Even then, we would have a hard time fielding a 200 million man army. But this is what the kings of the East are going to come with, 200 million men. When the United States go into battle right now, they send 1,000, maybe 5,000, maybe 10,000. If it's a full-blown war, 50, 100,000. In World War I and II, it was 1 million. Nothing close to, even the whole war, it was nothing close to 200 million people, 200 million men in battle. From horizon to horizon, like thick as ants. And I want you to picture this, because see, when we go to war, today we've gotten, if one man gets killed in some place that we occupy, or we are going into battle, when we went into Desert Storm, there were so few deaths that, because of the air campaign on our side, that it got down to the place where, you know, if two people got killed, this is a big deal. We got to report this. When in normal war, two people getting killed by the second, if not more. Now, imagine 200 million. Let's imagine 1 million first. Let's put this in context. Take 1,000 people and put them in a group. 1,000 people, that's one group of 1,000. Now make 1,000 groups like that. You'll have 1 million. That's what 1 million is, 1,000,000. So you got a group of 1,000 people. Now make 1,000 groups of 1,000 people. You'll have 1 million. Now multiply that by 200. And you have 200 million. This is how many people are going to come from the East. This is how big the army is. They're coming to take over some stuff. They're coming to occupy. They're coming to overwhelm by just their strength in numbers. You ain't got enough bullets. Matter of fact, it is well known that even if they drop a nuclear bomb, they cannot kill them all. So we got to understand that this king of the East that is being prepared. See, China, when the U.S. took democracy, or not democracy, capitalism to China, China is beating the U.S. in capitalism. The U.S. was the greatest power when it came to capitalism, U.S. and Europe. But when you got economies that are 10 times larger than your economy, you have a hard time keeping up with that. So when they woke up this sleeping giant, China, when they woke them up economically, this is what's going to spurner a lot of things. Could you imagine? I want you to imagine the splurging that goes on in the U.S., the waste that goes on in the U.S. You got people that buy food and don't even eat all the food. You got people that buy, you know, 3 and 4 and 5 cars and they only drive one at a time. You have people that own so much land that they can never use it all themselves. Give that, and this is the dream that they sell you. We want to be wealthy. We want to have an abundance. And you can get it by working hard by the works of your hands. And whatever it is that you desire, if you work hard enough for it, you can have it. Now, give that appetite. The United States is only 300 million, 330 million people. India has 1 billion people. That's 3 times the size of the U.S. And I believe China has close to 2 billion. I have to look up the number again. Give that appetite to that economy. If we are causing so much destruction and so much waste, and we're but 25%, not even 25% of the world's population, what do you think is going to happen when you give the people who have the majority of the population that same hunger? We want big houses. We want fine cars. We want to eat whatever their luxury meat is, or you know, whatever they is that they eat. Let's just say a steak. We want the same lifestyle. And this is what's happening there now. When we had the housing crisis and they were saying, oh, we need to come up with $1 billion, $900 billion, almost $1 trillion, to save the economy. It wasn't the economy that they were saving, trying to save. China had invested almost $1 trillion into this economy in housing. And you can tell them that you just bought $1 trillion worth of bad paper? You know, we're bad, but we ain't, and they're powerful, but we ain't that bad and powerful. No, we got to make up for this. That's why they never told you where the money was. You had to search and find it. You had to search the money. You had to follow it. It was to pay them off, or else we would have been in a war, a big war. And China is one of the countries that the U.S. doesn't want to go to war with. I want you to look at, go back and look at our history. North Korea exists because China backs North Korea. We went into North Korea. The Chinese came in and rescued them. We backed down. So understand that China is not a nation that the U.S. or any of the world really wants to go to war with. And they are steadily modernizing their military. And when they get ready to march, the Most High says, I'm preparing them to march. I'm going to dry up the Euphrates River. I'm going to make it like dry land like I did for the children of Israel. But this is going to be an invading force. And where are they going to invade? Europe, the Middle East, Africa. But they will also be invading the U.S., did not via the Euphrates River. See, most of the land mass is on that side of the world. Europe, Asia, Africa, the largest continent on the planet. And again, I really want you guys, I challenge you, go out, if you have access to the internet, go out on the internet, look up the continent of Africa and say, give me a real picture, ratio-wise. When I say ratio, not racial, but ratio-wise, because you look at a normal map of the world, they make Africa look small compared to its true size. Okay? So most of the land mass is on that side of the world, and the Euphrates runs right down in there. Just come across the Sinai Peninsula, and they're in Africa. So the Most High is going to make that way possible, and they're going to go in. And they're not going to – see, when the U.S. conquers someplace, we give it back, and we help them build up. The Chinese are not going to be that way. They're going to be coming to conquer and to keep and to maintain. Let's continue. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of Elohim Almighty. So these unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of the false prophet, out of the mouth of the beast. They're going to go to deceive the world. They're going to be a lying spirit. And they're going to tell the world that the Most High is the enemy. And he is their enemy, but he's not the enemy of the world. But the world is going to be deceived. And they're going to come up against the Most High. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked. And they see his shame. He's talking to you, talking to me. Keep your garments clean. Don't be sinning. Keep the commandments. Don't be walking in the way of the world. This is your faith. This is your fortress. Do what the Most High says to do. Because if not, you may be buying into the Antichrist system and don't know it. See, if you stay close to Yah, you don't have to worry about that other system. You don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. Why? Because you won't be involved or be even looking at in that way the world. Well, what the world is doing. And, oh, I need to do this. They say to do this. I need to do that too. You need to stay close to Yah, Elohim. You need to keep his statutes, laws, and his commandments. You need to walk in his ways and get close to him. And you won't have to worry about taking the mark because your faith will be in him. You won't be believing in science. You won't be believing that man can cure what man is ailing of because man cannot. He just makes things worse. Even when it looks like he fixes something, it's not really fixed. And so our faith has to be in Yah Elohim, 100%. You can't be kind of counting on Yah and kind of counting on man. That says you're double-minded. You have to be counting on the Most High, 100%. And he gathered them together in a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning. And there was a great earthquake. Now, the Most High is doing things on a global scale at this point. Remember, all the fish in the sea died. All the green plant life. Men all over the world are being scorched. This is global. So what do you think this great earthquake is? This great earthquake is global. And in another chapter, it tells us that all the mountains of the world flatten out. No more mountains. The Himalayas, the Rocky Mountains, the Ozarks, those that run from in South America, the Olympus, none of those mountains are going to stand up to this earthquake. So you know that this great earthquake, when it says great, it means exactly that, great. That no mountain anywhere will stand up to it. You know how much force and power it takes to knock down a mountain? Are you going to do it on a global scale? This is what he's saying. Verse 18 again. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. Jerusalem divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before Elohim to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. Wait a minute. Hear what Yah Elohim is saying. islands fled away. That means every island went under. Couldn't find them. Shook loose and sunk. Went back beneath the ocean. And the mountains couldn't be found. This is how great this earthquake is. Still, greater judgment is coming. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed Elohim because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. And Yah shall send them hail. This hail, and this is, remember, he mentions this last, so he's mentioning them, he's mentioning these plagues in the order of magnitude. You got a global earthquake that flattens the mountains and causes the islands, Hawaii gone, Puerto Rico gone, Greenland gone. Australia is an island, gone. These islands of the sea, gone in the ocean. And that ain't the worst of it. All the mountains, everywhere, flattened. And that's not the worst of it. It says, now, I'm going to send the hail as in the day that I did battle. But this is worse than whatever's already happened. He's given it to you by magnitude of its terribleness. The worst of it's going to be the hail. And this great hail coming out of heaven. Hailstones the size of a talent of gold. A talent of gold was average about 110 pounds. Every hailstone about 110 pounds. I want you to imagine that, like, if you've ever been in a hailstone and you hear the noise of the hail, and it's BB shot size or it's pea size, and it's making all this noise, and it's pea size. How do you think this is going to sound, and this hail is 110 pounds each one? What a terrible sound. I mean, the ground just shook from under you. If you were in a house, more than likely you already did. Why? Because the house probably fell on you. If the mountains are flattening and the islands in the ocean are sinking, they have sunk. They don't exist. Why don't exist anymore? Puerto Rico don't exist anymore. Any islands off the coast don't exist anymore. Australia, that's the biggest island on this planet, don't exist anymore. So if you're in your house and Yah Elohim doesn't have you, if you're not one of his, you're probably dead. Because the house probably fell on you. Let's say that it starts shaking and you made it out of the house. You made it into the street. You survived the earthquake. Now the sun's still scorching. So the sun starts cooking you behind. But then you look up and off in the distance, you see this big black dark thing from horizon to horizon. And you see the lightning in it, and you know what it is. This is a storm coming, but you ain't never seen a storm like this. The storm itself looks like night. It's that black. And it's coming with a quickness. And coming down out of this storm is hail of the likes that mankind has never seen. And it's knocking down everything, whatever's remaining, whatever is alive. And the only ones who are going to survive this are those that are being protected by the Most High. Can you see that? Does it put fear in you? Let you understand that the Most High Elohim has been holding back his wrath for so long. It's almost like he says, you know what? It would be like if you snapped. But he don't snap. He says, this is intentional, and I understand fully what I'm doing. You snap and go off. You know, like we have some people out there that snap and they just kill everybody in the house. What happened? I snapped. I don't know what happened. Next thing I know, I looked up and everybody in the house is dead. The Most High is like, he snapped. But he says, nah, I'm not snapping. I'm taking out my wrath and my final judgment. I'm going to rain down so much hell. I'm going to destroy virtually almost everything except for where my people are at. And when they look up, they better be thankful. Because as I said, he said, this is not a day that you should even pray for. Don't pray for the day of the Lord. Because when I bring this last judgment, this hell, it's going to be destroying the works of man. You will be back in the Stone Age. No TV towers, no cell phone towers, no skyscrapers. All this technology that we have come to count on. God says, you can't do battle with me. And when I decide to show my wrath, when I decide to give you hell, nothing's going to stand up to this. Just obliterating everything. Now, we as people, we witnessed this. How traumatized do you think we are going to be? I mean, even to see that kind of destruction, that's traumatizing. You think you're going to fear Yah at that point? You think you're going to really fear him? I bet you we do. If we don't have a fear of him now, a genuine fear, and he selects you, because I looked at your heart and I found you worthy, and you see this kind of destruction, I bet you we all walk lightly. We don't want to make him mad, because as we read last night, even the picture that they have sold us of him is a lie. We read the scriptures where there's fire coming out of his nose. Out of his nose. And he can set coals on fire with his breath. Ezekiel tells us that he looks like fire from the bottom up, the color of amber. And he looks like fire. But he really looks like that molten lava that comes out of the volcano. That's his color. That's his appearance. We will walk lightly. We will see him as he is, and we will know why we need to be afraid. He's not just telling us that just to tell us that. Oh, you just need to be afraid of me. He says, fear me. Because if you don't, he's not putting up with no mess. You know, we'll look at men and we'll be, let's say, the mafia or something, and you cross somebody in the mafia, they find you, you know, with your throat slit, your tongue pulled through the slit, they call it a necktie. That's to put fear in people. And then people wouldn't cross that worked for that particular Don or whatever, wouldn't cross him. They walked in fear of him. And the Most High says, you don't fear me? You don't have genuine fear of me. That's because then you don't understand who you're dealing with. You ain't got a clue. Because I don't take stuff. I have been very merciful with you. I have had mercy on you. I really am a loving and kind God, and that's my nature. But the other side of that, when you move me the other way, there ain't nothing more terrible than me. So when Yeshua was on the ocean and him and his disciples, and that great tempest, this great storm came up, and water was coming into the boat. They didn't knew the boat was going to sink. And they got afraid. They would have called on Messiah and said, aren't you afraid? Do something. And he said, oh, ye of little faith. And he spoke to the wind, but he didn't really speak to the wind. He didn't say, wind, be still. Because it wasn't the wind that was the problem. He said, peace. The spirit of peace, the opposite of him, is a rampage. Peace, you are acting up. Be still. We were seeing the opposite of peace. We were seeing peace and the opposite of it. But the spirit was peace. And it was causing the storm. And the enemy probably, Satan was using it, fire was on. But he didn't speak to the wind and to the waves. He spoke to the spirit of peace. Be still. Now, when the Most High, what he's telling us is, hey, I am love. So when you upset me to the point that I get angry, the opposite of love, and I become terrible. And who's going to tell me to be still? Who's going to tell me to withhold my hand? Nobody. So he's describing to us what he's going to do, the hardness of men's hearts, because his creation, the crown of his creation, refuses to obey. The animals obey. The elements obey. But man, his child, the one that he has declared, this is my child, Satan. Satan asked the Most High, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? And the son of man that thou would visit him? What is he? Why are you pay special attention to him? You don't do that with anything else. It's my child. And I'm having special mercy for my child. Satan, you are a servant. The angels, you are servants. I don't take the stuff off of you that I take off of my children. But even my children can go to only to a certain point, and they will feel my wrath as well. And this is what he's talking about here. The time will come when the Most High will say, you know what? Enough is enough. And now what I'm coming, I'm not coming being that kind and gentle and merciful God that you've been looking for. I've been that this whole time. Because truthfully speaking, I could have been judged long ago. When Adam first sinned, I could have judged and destroyed all mankind. But not doing it. That one is wicked. That species that I created, my children, the ones that I want to put my spirit into, is wicked. And I'm not going to have and allow something evil and wicked with my power to come forth. But yeah, he understood and he already knew. There's going to be some good ones to come out of this. And to get the numbers that I want, I'm going to have to allow billions upon billions to be born. To get the numbers that I'm looking for. See, when I give mankind free will, when I allow him to make his own choice and make up his own mind, most of them will not choose me. Better way. They will think themselves that they can make a better way. Because this is his nature. To want to do it himself, or to think that there's a better way than me. This is the truth of the matter. When the Most High brings the hail, and whoever's left, they will understand beyond a shadow of a doubt who the Most High Elohim is. Because it says, for we shall see him as he is. And we will know how awesome and how terrible and how great and how magnificent, just beyond our ability to comprehend. There's really no way to describe, to put into words. He doesn't even do it. He does it to a level that we can understand. The seeing is believing. Sometimes you can't put into words what's in a picture. Sometimes something is so incomprehensible that you can't describe it. You don't know how to describe it. You can't put it into words. This is what it's going to be like to see our Elohim. You can't put it into words. So he tells us about those attributes of himself that we are able to understand. And that's just a glimpse. So when the Most High brings this hail and destroys this planet, it's going to be covered in ice. And when all is said and done, and everybody, because we're changed, and remember, we're changed in a sprinkling, in the twinkling of an eye. If we belong to him, and we're here at that time, in the twinkling of an eye, you are changed to be in his form. And then there's going to be some people that survive. I can imagine anybody that survives this. First 100, 200 years, they're going to be very good. Because this is our nature. This has been what the story with Israel has been. One generation is good. They forget about the Most High. They sin. The Most High sends us into captivity. We cry out to him. He sends a deliverance. We're good for a generation. And then the next generation does it all over again. So I think that when Messiah comes and he does all this, for a couple of hundred years, men are going to be good. Their lifetimes are going to increase. But slowly but surely, those that survive, they're going to start to rebel again. Kingdom, his millennial kingdom. Eventually, their true nature comes back out again. Because when we read in later in Revelation, Revelation 20 to be exact, at the end of the 1,000 year, what happened? Mankind rebels again. And they come up against the saints, the ones who made it in the first resurrection, the ones who gave their lives for the gospel and for the word of God, for the word of Elohim, who are not subject to the lake of fire, who are doing his will in the world, who are helping him to rule the earth with a rod of iron. The people rebel, and they come up against the Most High, and he rains down fire. And I believe, again, these hailstones out of heaven and just destroys them all. Then we have the great white throne judgment. So this hail is like his signature bar, like his signature. That you see this, you can say, oh, we've had earthquakes before. People can say, oh, the sun has been hot and it felt like it was scorching us before. People can say, oh, we've seen dead seas. We've seen red tide before. But if it's this right here, you ain't never seen nothing like this. This is my signature. So we got to understand that. This happens more than once. And in the end, the Most High says that he's going to set everything on fire. Even the elements, the dirt, the iron, coal, all of it will melt. So that's it takes 2,000-4,000 degrees to melt some things. He says all of it will be turned into molten. The seas will go away. The atmosphere from the earth will remove. The new heavens and the new earth. There ain't no seas. There ain't no atmosphere. But there's still life, because it's a different type of life. You're eternal. You don't need air to breathe. You don't need water. The water that you are getting is from the tree of life. It's from the throne of the Most High. But it ain't like this water that we're used to. It's like the lake of fire is not like the fire that we're used to. So the things that he's doing and going to do, he's telling us exactly. All we got to do is believe. Choose you this day who you will serve. Is the picture that has been painted in your mind so different than what you are reading that it appalls you, that it upsets you? That you might be saying, I don't know if I can serve a God like that, because I have heard people say that. Because it's not the God that was in their mind. It's not the picture I painted for myself. And my God would be like this. And my God would be like that. And my God wouldn't do this. And my God would do that. That is the God of your mind. Now come and meet the true and living Elohim. The God that's going to give them hail. The God that's going to suck up all the water and cause it to come down like ice. Meet the true and living Elohim of the Bible. Not this one that men have sold to you. This one that is Santa Claus, this Messiah that will not show vengeance, because he says, vengeance is mine. So don't you worry about it. Believe me. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you believe that I am who I say that I am? It always comes down to belief. Do you believe what I have had written concerning myself? Or will you make me up in your own mind? Will you paint a picture of me that is not what I told you? Will you practice idolatry? Will you make up a God in your own mind and say, this is who I'm going to worship? And he will never, ever forsake me, no matter how bad I am. Because he don't say that. And I can keep messing up, and he'll keep forgiving me. He don't say that. See, this is what we have done to justify ourselves, so that we don't have to do what's right. Oh, he'll forgive me. He says, no, I won't. There's a certain point of knowledge that you have that once you have it, you are inexcusable. You either get with the program or get out. You either get with the program or you might as well live your life like the world. And you might as well do that to the best of your ability with all your strength, because you know what the end is thereof. You know what the end therein thereof. So you might as well do it with your whole heart. Either way, you either serve me with your whole heart, or you might as well serve the world with your whole heart. Both ends have their reward. So look at the judgments that I'm going to send. I told you, I reserved this hail as in the day that I showed you in battle. And this hail that's in the last day, there has never been any like it. You didn't see this in Egypt. And the stuff that I rained down on Egypt was terrible. It was grievous. It killed a bunch of people. But it didn't kill everybody. And I made a way of escape for them. I told them what to do. If you believe me, then tomorrow by the time, have your servants and your flocks and everything, have them inside. Because if they're outside, they're going to die. Now when I come, those that are mine, I'm going to change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And all those that are mine, I'm going to reserve. I'm going to protect you. The judgment shall not come upon you. You still have to go through the tribulation, Lord, and you still have to prove that you will not take the side of the enemy. When the going gets really rough and it comes down to a matter of your life, will you try to save your life? Or will you give your life to me? If you try to save your life, then you're going to lose it. Because you will have chosen the enemy. If you don't believe that I'm able to raise you back up again, should you give your life? If you don't believe that I'm able to raise you back up again and give you your life back and even better, if you can't believe that, if you can't live in that, then you might as well party hard now. You might as well live the best life that this world can offer you now. Because once you make that decision, The end is written. All those that love me, I will raise them again at the last day. And I will give them eternal life, and I will bring them into a kingdom of peace and prosperity. What I intended from the very beginning. And you will have a healthy respect and fear of me, as all my creation does. But I will elevate you. Because just as I am a God, if you are my children, then what will you be? This is what we miss. We become Elohim in him, not apart from him, but in him. And the same power that he has, he gives to his children, the ones that have proven that they are not wicked, that they are not evil, that they are able to be obedient. I'm going to allow you to express your God power. To the good of the universe, not just to mankind. You see, we feel like we're going to be stuck on this planet. He says, but you don't know. You can't imagine the riches and the blessings that I have for you. It's not just on this planet. But look up and out, all that I've created. We just have to understand what's at stake. We don't want to be the recipient of this hail. We want to be the ones that are protected from it. We want to be his witnesses. You are my witnesses. In the end, is there an Elohim besides me? He's going to reply, we know not any. What a glorious day. What a marvelous day when we know the end of all these things have come to pass, and it's just us and our Elohim and everything else that he has created that is in obedience with him throughout all the universe, the heavens. You are never going into the heaven of heaven. You weren't created to go into the heaven of heaven, where the Most High is, where he dwells, where his sitting place is. But look up and out, the heaven. We're not going into the heaven of heaven. But we are promised the heaven, the earth, and everything else that the Most High created in this realm. So the planets, the stars, the other solar systems, the other galaxies, trillions were created for us. We just have to be obedient. We don't want to receive this judgment. We want to be protected. And Yah will protect us. But we have to do what he says do. He says, I will not be mocked. I will not be made fun of. Don't think that you're getting over because you got away with something. Don't think that I don't see it. Play me for a fool. Because I will not be mocked. And the world that has not listened, and the world that is acting foolish, when I give them hell, it'll be the last time that they act foolish. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we see. We see you in your fierceness. We know why you are angry with mankind. We know why you call Israel stiff-necked and hard-hearted. We know that mankind's nature is to against you. We have done it since the time of Adam. And you say you will produce a seed that is worthy of your name, that is worthy of your spirit, that is worthy to be called your son. Father, I accept that. Look at each and every person's heart. If we are not up to par, strengthen us. Help us to be to your standard. Help us to count on you, Father. You and only you. For this is what you have desired from the beginning. That your children should look to you as daddy and have total faith and total reliance on you. Father, we pray today. Plead with you today. Help us. Strengthen us. Give us courage. That we might do the things that are necessary to be done. That we understand that nothing else in this life matters. The sole purpose for your creating us is for your pleasure. Father, help us to be pleasing to you. Change us. That we walk in your ways, that we keep your commandments, that we fear you, and that we love you for who you are, the great I am, the creator of the universe, the one that has told us that we are your children. Help us to be like you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Shut the mouth of the lion.
the Most High Elohim. Praise him. Give Yah glory. Magnify him wherever you are at.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
Just words. You have no beginning. Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.